Leadership is not about titles, status, and wielding power. A leader is anyone who takes responsibility for recognizing the potential in people and ideas and has the courage to develop that potential. When we dare to lead, we don't pretend to have the right answers. We stay curious and ask the right questions. We don't see power as finite and hoard it. We know that power becomes infinite when we share it with others. We don't avoid difficult conversations and situations. We lean into vulnerability when it's necessary to do good work. So that was from Brené Brown's book, Dare to Lead. And joining me to discuss today is Stacy Ruth. So Stacy, welcome. Thanks for joining me. Tell the folks a bit about yourself.
Well, thank you. It is really fun to be here and certainly fun to be talking about one of my favorite authors. I have been told, because I have roots in Texas myself, that occasionally I sound like Brené Brown, and I will take that as a high compliment. I have a business that is based on leadership development, training, coaching, and also personal brand development, which ties in quite neatly with leadership. And so Brené Brown is actually one of my inspirations.
Awesome. Well said. So yeah, so let's talk a few overall thoughts on the book. And for me, it gets a little, I'm not big on the rah-rah, and it kind of did a little bit of that like cheerleading to me. Not too much though. It stayed, I think, on the good side of not being cheesy. I think she came across as authentic and did well. There's some other books I've read where it's rah-rah and it's silly. This, I think, sort of got a little that way for me, but in a good way. What were your kind of overall takeaways?
Well, I would be interested to hear more about what you think about the rah-rah component to it. I definitely think that she is focused on how to effectively embody leadership while, I won't say sidestepping, it's just not the topic of the book, what the leadership skills set is and how do you develop leadership and those sorts of things. This is about how to show up in a leadership role, how to be a leader.
Yeah. That's true. And maybe I expected it to be more rah-rah. Maybe just when I first started, I kind of expected that, and then it didn't go that way as much as I thought. When you talk about being open and being willing to be wrong and that kind of stuff, I guess maybe it felt that way at the beginning, but then she did get more tactical. I won't say very tactical, but more tactical as time went on. She had her acronyms and her ideas and some frameworks around it. So again, I think that did help quite a bit.
Definitely. And she's trying to show, I think, throughout the book, by example, how to embody what candidly are some pretty heady ideas. I mean, vulnerability and, this daring courage to have tough conversations. I will tell you, since the 1980s, that has not been a go-to in business culture. I think to our detriment, I agree with her wholeheartedly. You know, she's all about whole hearts. Wholeheartedly, I agree with her that is actually a very dangerous way to operate a business with shareholder primacy and greed as our motivator. And and it really creates a situation that where stress and chronic stress, which a little stress is good, chronic stress, not good, is the driving motivator behind business. There's a huge leadership gap at every level of our society. And she's certainly a voice of an alternative approach worth trying.
Yep. I like that. It's interesting. I find it, she says, dare to lead, but dare to tell the truth is basically what she's kind of saying. Like, if you don't know the answer, say you don't know the answer. It's okay. And you'll actually come out better for the other side. So it's just interesting that her whole point is dare to just be honest, which leads to vulnerability and things that get scarier. But
true. I mean,
it comes from a place of just saying how it is, and you'll all get so much further for it. And, you know, we see a lot of this in other books we've talked about in here, like Adam Grant and Think Again and other ones where it's just, if you don't know it, that's okay. That's a good thing. You become smarter when you realize you don't know it. And she kind of says the same sort of thing talking about teams.
I think that's true. And there's an interesting, she draws a line because she talks about the CEO that was like, okay, I've drunk the Kool-Aid. I'm excited to be vulnerable. And he was just going to dump all of his inabilities and insecurities on his investors. And she's like, could we hold on just a second? Let's maybe not do that. And so she's not talking about, I will try to use a polite word rather than, regurgitating everything indiscriminately. That's not what she's talking about.
Right.
Vulnerable and honest. She's talking about being willing to be real, being willing to be authentic. I don't have to share everything with everyone in order to have achieved vulnerability. In fact, that's not really what vulnerability is.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I didn't want to take it too far there. A quote I pulled from the book here about being kind, it made me think about Gary Vaynerchuk. If, I don't know if you've read his book, 12 and a Half, but he talks
I
in there.
Not, but I will now.
Yeah, the half is his candor. He struggled, I won't get too much in his book, but he struggled because his father was very candorous, like in a bad way, just would tell people what he thought, it would just destroy relationships. And so Gary's default was to do the opposite and not say anything bad about anyone ever. And he's learned that kind candor is kind of the solution to be candorous, but in a nice way. And so Brené said in her book, quote, feeding people half-truths or bullshit to make them feel better, which is almost always about making ourselves feel more comfortable, is unkind. Mm-hmm. Clear is kind, unclear is unkind.
And so I thought that was... make the point of that, you know, I've heard, you know, stand for yourself and not against others.
Ooh, well, okay, yes.
Is a really good way of like, I'm going to keep the focus on myself and my part in the conversation, in the situation as a leader, and what I can affect change on. And I'm going to invite other people to do the same. And then that way we're focused on, I've heard it said certainly in leadership, focused on the common objective rather than my agenda versus your agenda.
Yeah, I've heard it as task conflict versus relationship conflict. We conflict about the task, not about each other. Yeah, that's right. A good way to put it. Another quote I heard, I've researched this one to death. I heard it, I don't remember where I heard it. I don't remember who said it, but honesty without kindness is brutality, and kindness without honesty is manipulation. And so it took me a minute to get my head around, but honesty without kindness is brutality. So that goes back to like Gary Vee's father, who was super honest and just dropped it on him. But then kindness without honesty is manipulation, which is like a great used car salesman that's lying through his teeth, but is super nice about it, you know, as they do it. And so having both of those, honesty with kindness is difficult, but can be fantastic if you can make it work.
Yeah. And you're really talking about in both of those situations, aggression. The first one is just flat out aggression. The second one is passive aggressive.
Okay. Good.
Actually also aggression.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but yes.
Yeah, and that's what she's inviting us to get rid of in organizations is aggression by being vulnerable.
Gotcha. Yeah. In my opinion. I like that. Yeah. And I like how this, I think a lot of this leads to trust with your team too. If they see you being vulnerable, they will be too. And you'll know you'll get the answer out of them. You know, they won't, hopefully know that they won't be just feeding you lies to make you hear what you want to hear. They'll know that they can tell the truth back to you. And I think it helps a lot. And that one brings me back to a different book again, was Greg McEwen's Effortless. When he said in there, he said, quote, when there's trust, we don't have to spend time and effort managing people or relationships. We can assign tasks with the confidence that they'll be completed. And I love that because he says that they'll be completed, but I see it as they'll be completed or they'll be willing to ask for help if they need it. You know, they'll be taken care of one way or another, you know, versus pretending and scrambling and trying to look good and actually do good.
Yeah. And what I think that Brené, there's only so much you can fit in a book.
Right.
maybe overlooking here a little bit is the process, if you haven't been this way, of going from here, point A, I haven't been this way, over to point B, where I'm now this way. And, it's all, you know, trust and vulnerability and rumbling and all of those good things. It can take time.
It can be real tough because your team may not know what to make of it either. So
exactly.
I think that's kind of where she pinpointed those seven behaviors that encourage trust and made the acronym BRAVING. So she talked about these. I think that kind of were her tips, and she unpacks it a lot in the book and certainly encourage you all to check it out for yourself. But the BRAVING was boundaries, reliability, accountability, vault, integrity, non-judgment, and generosity. So as she unpacks each of those, you kind of see how all those are a piece of it. It's not just, like you said, telling all the dirty secrets and just laying it all out there. There's a cadence to it. And, you know, you got to be careful with exactly what you're doing. But yeah. She lays out a good way to start it. Because that would be tough, especially for a big, well-established company where you've been there for a long time, to suddenly flip and start doing this, your team would not take it very well. It's got to be kind of gradual and sort of thought through a little bit.
Well, clarity, explaining what's happening.
Yes.
It's kind.
Yes, yeah. There you go. Yeah, clarity is always kind, for sure. Mm-hmm. Another piece she talked about was trust. She said, quote, it turns out that trust is in fact earned in the smallest of moments. It's not earned through heroic deeds or even highly visible actions, but through paying attention, listening, and gestures of genuine care and connection. Mm-hmm. And so again, just takes time to, I think trusting your team is the greatest thing you can do. I mean, that's something, it's taken us a while to do simply just because, you know, we got to know our team, but I have full trust in them now and it's fantastic. Like I can send one of them an email and forget about it. They'll get back to me if they need help or they'll take care of it. I don't have to worry. Like, is their inbox piling up too much? Are they going to skip it? Are they going to do it wrong? Like, I don't have that concern, but it's taken a long time to get there. Building that trust can be such a relief for a leader.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is. And I think too, that, you know, when I started my first business a lot of years ago,
a while back,
you know, and I didn't have access to all this great information that Brené is laying out here. I certainly did the thing where I hired people that knew less than me so I could know, quote unquote, know it all. Right. And because of the insecurity. Right. And so as we become more secure as leaders, we're better able to relinquish that control and trust the people who are working for us.
Yeah. It gets tricky too with ages. And like Allie, my business partner, is 10 years younger than me. So over the years, half our staff roughly has been older than her, but she is the boss, you know? And so that's tricky too, to be vulnerable and be younger and, you know, still hold that position of power, I guess, as well. I don't like that word with her. I don't think that fits, but you know what I mean there.
Leadership is really what we're talking about.
That kind of is. I think that goes to another one about people that aren't willing to get that feedback too. She said, this is a longer quote with another mild swear word in it, so warning there, but quote, if you're not in the arena getting your ass kicked on occasion, I'm not interested in or open to your feedback. There are a million cheap seats in the world today filled with people who will never be brave enough with their lives, but who'll spend every ounce of energy they have hurling advice and judgment at those who dare greatly. Their only contributions are criticism, cynicism, and fear-mongering. If you're criticizing from a place where you're not also putting yourself on the line, I'm not interested in hearing what you have to say. So I thought that was a great one for me too, because we see that a lot from folks that say, I can do it better than they could, but I'm just going to sit back here and not risk it, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's definitely a, the Wild West out there. As far as you know, who actually has the expertise and the authority to back up their opinion. And she's saying that expertise and authority comes from making yourself vulnerable and being bold and questioning the status quo. And so who's doing that or who's just chiming in is a really interesting crucible to put that kind of information that is being, you know, just thrown at us daily. Yeah. Through a little bit of a gauntlet, which is an interesting invitation.
It is. And I mostly agree with that. I almost disagree a little bit because I think there are cases where there's someone that's very studied on a topic that hasn't been through it that can still offer great insights and advice. Like, I think I wrote a post not long about, like, your doctor doesn't need to have had cancer to be able to treat you. Like, they've not gone through it. They've not faced the struggles, but they've researched that they still can give good advice and insights because of what they know. But I think she's not really talking about that necessarily.
No, I don't think that's that kind of thing.
Yeah. I see hers more as, and she's sort of edged it a little bit as a sports metaphor too, but I see that a lot in sports where people from the fan stands, you know, scream that they could do it so much better. And I saw a video, Katie Nolan, a sports broadcaster, pulled tweets from Twitter, people saying they could kick a field goal that people had missed, that it was so easy. And she secretly brought them to the studio, them not knowing why, and had them try to kick said field goal. And of course, none of them could do it even a little bit because they were comfortable in the stands to hurl insults and say how easy it was. Right. But when they actually got down to it, there wasn't a chance they could do what these people did. And same kind of thing here, I think, where you look at a leader and say, of course, that was a horrible decision. We all could have seen it, but if you're actually in the seats,
we had a saying around my first agency because there were, you know, late nights putting together last minute projects, and they were relatively high stakes, you know, financial rewards for winning it, and if someone left while the work was still going on and then came in the next morning and wanted to second guess it, we said, I'm sorry, if you want to play, you got to stay.
Yep, I love that. Yep. I mean, you're not there for all the conversations, and I mean, you just don't know all the pieces that go into any decision that's being made, and no one really does. I mean, you never can have all the answers for a decision, but yeah, the more you can be there, part of it, making the decision, you know, a whole lot more than anyone that's looking in, for sure.
That's right.
I love her vulnerability and that kind of thing. So, was there anything in the book that you disagreed with or were disappointed by?
I think disappointed or disagree is probably a little further than I would go with this, but I really believe that the focus of her book is some of the most important skill set any leader has, which is empathy, self-awareness, emotional intelligence. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have those, it's really hard to get your teeth into this book and really put it into practical action. I think that there are a tremendous number of people, you know, the big 80s when it was greed, corporate greed, and shareholder primacy became top of mind. It has kind of taken over. We've almost forgotten what it was like before that was the norm, the status quo. Right. And, you know, I've had conversations with leaders where we're talking about, you know, oh dear, emotion at work. And they say, oh, this is a little too touchy feely for me. I mean, I'm not asking them to get out the Kleenex, right? And I think that's part of what she's trying to overcome in the book. I think it bears some acknowledgement that, that the self-awareness, empathy, and emotional intelligence are almost the price of entry to be able to get this book.
Gotcha. If you're lacking those skills, you'll read this book and just think it was foolish. But at least, even if you don't agree with her, at least you have an open mind, you'll be able to appreciate what she has to say. But if you just...
Yeah, I think she makes a case for its viability.
For sure.
Oh,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, yeah, this was great. I often ask, like, should listeners read this book or skip it? I think we're both pretty clear that this is one that they should go read immediately. Definitely. If they haven't already. Listen to it, read it, however you want to consume your books. It's worth consuming for sure. So how can people find out more about you, Stacey?
Well, I would invite them to check out all of my work. And hey, heck, grab yourself some free tools at unstoppable-leader.com. And also, I totally agree with Brené Brown about the vital importance of values. I've got a free Determine Your Values worksheet on my website under Tools. And I welcome you to read some of my books. Own Your Own Shift and Inside Out Smart are both available at fine retailers online.
Awesome. It was all those, the giveaways and the books. It's amazing how well they tie into what we just read here. It's almost like you picked that one on purpose. It's crazy. So awesome. Well, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.